Morning Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre. And we're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How she caught me, loves. You're listening to the Mac City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norell Toyota. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities, and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norell Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Hi, everyone. I'm Lance Marchand. I'm owner of 1905 Distillery. We do moonshine. So we're a small craft distillery out of Bonnyville, Alberta.
Okay.
This is just a kind of a side hustle for me. I work for CNRL. I do stakeholder relations, so I just had a really nice chat with Chief Byrne. So
yeah,
kind of my side hustle is the moonshine, and I'm going to be up in the area next weekend for the trade show or the Spring Expo.
Yeah.
And we're going to be trying to pawn some moonshine. So
nice. So yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. So yeah. Where does your love? First off, what kind of moonshine are you making? Like based on what?
Just straight sugar shine. So
okay,
I'm a millwright by trade, so I'm a tinkerer. Okay. I've always kind of done different things. We made beer, we made wine, and the natural progression is to eventually try to make your own spirit.
Right.
So when I bought the still, I bought it from a very knowledgeable guy down in Edmonton, and he gave me a bunch of recipes for rum and whiskey, and he goes, but you're always going to make the sugar shine because that's the best. It tastes the best. It's the cleanest spirit. And so I started making the sugar shine and never really looked back. So all you take is sugar, yeast, and nutrients.
Yeah.
The sugar or the yeast eats the sugar. Mm-hmm. The byproduct is ethanol.
Yeah.
And so I take that distillation. I distill it twice, and then I run it through a charcoal filter. So
ooh.
My starting point is a very, very, very clean spirit.
Yeah.
I would liken it to probably one of the cleaner tequilas you'll ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I make some flavor blends. And it's a very small operation. So right now we have three flavors. We have apple pie. We have birdie juice, which is a cinnamon. When I started making moonshine, we're avid golfers. And so we always had Fireball in our bag was our birdie juice.
Right.
So when I made my own birdie juice, I made it something comparable to a Fireball. So it's a cinnamon moonshine.
Right.
It's 36% alcohol. And it's smooth. Like, so I always tell people at these markets that if Fireball had like a hot older sister, that's kind of where we're at on the product.
And love then
the
it.
Other the that's other
a great is, description, by the way.
And the other product is a what we call it a bogey shot, and it's a salted caramel. It's only 18%, so it's a little more palatable. It's a little easier on people. That all started when I was telling a friend I was going to try and get my moonshine to market.
Right.
Old Smokey had come to Alberta, and they finally had moonshine on the shelves, and I was really excited to try it. And when I tried it tastes like gasoline. I'm like, what is this? If I could get mine out there, it would sell itself. So
yeah.
Me and three buddies worked on it, and we always kind of, it was right when COVID happened. And the worldwide economy was kind of right on the precipice of failing. And we were putting our money away for RSPs. And we thought, you know, what if we just took that money and invested in ourselves?
Right.
And in kind of the way we're thinking of it is you could fail at anything. You could fail at being a plumber, an electrician. What happens then? You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you move forward. So
right.
I was telling one of them that I had this view to have birdie juice on a shelf. And he goes, well, what about guys like me?
Yeah,
that don't make birdies. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing for me? He goes, you know what I need? A shot that's really harsh, like the White Lightning.
Yeah,
and call it the truth, right?
Yeah,
and then the slogan would be that sometimes the truth hurts. Right? You suck at golf.
But, I love this.
But it morphed into like, well, we don't want to punish anyone with a shot. We want to actually make it really delicious. So the salted caramel that we came up with is is it outsells everything about 3-1.
Yeah.
It is delicious. Everybody who tries it, they come up and they ask what it's about. And we're like, it's moonshine.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, I don't want the moonshine. Like,
yeah.
You know what? This is not the moonshine that you're used to. This is
right.
Your granddaddy's moonshine. It's all proofed down. It's all charcoal filtered. It's a really smooth
product. Yeah.
So fantastic flavor choices, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have apple pie because, I mean, if you're making moonshine, you should be making apple pie moonshine.
Right.
So we have the three flavors. We only do three things, but we do them really, really well.
Yeah. So. Very cool. No, the fact that you're distilling it twice and, like you said, then going through charcoal, like, that's not, like, back in the day, like, I would drink some moonshine that was, made you want to go blind. And there was nothing really nice about it. There was no flavor behind it. It was just like, this is just hard alcohol and it's getting a job done, yep. But it's not for an enjoying purpose whatsoever.
Yeah.
So sounds like you guys have definitely changed the game a little bit there.
Yeah. I mean, it really appealed to my meticulous nature to mm-hmm. like the proofing and the understanding how to get the alcohol content down, because I didn't want to make people black out. I didn't want, you know, to send somebody home to wet the bed, you know, like I just wanted to make a spirit that was delicious. And
I
know that the first couple of iterations were good, but I knew they could be better. So mm-hmm. Like I said, we're very, very proud of the product.
Yeah, that's very cool. Now, before we started filming, Chief Fern was outside chatting with you and he mm-hmm. asked me to pose a question to you.
Yep.
And so it was about Indigenous people and the workforce. And how that can kind of, how, what the viewpoint is and what it could be moving forward. So can you elaborate on that discussion you guys were having prior to the show being filmed?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a member of Cold Lake First Nation out towards Bonnyville. And when I started in stakeholder relations about 10 years ago, my dad ran sawmills with Native crews all the time. And he came up to me, he's like, you know what, son? Here's how you do it. He's like, if you need 10 guys, mm-hmm. hire 20.
Right.
And being from industry, like I'd been in industry already for 12 years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Right. Industry is not going to do that.
Right.
He goes, no, but hear me out. He goes, I had 20 guys and I cross-trained them.
Yeah.
So all of the guys could do every job that was there. So at any given time, I had 10 workers. And if more guys showed up, then I'd put them to work, you know, stacking pallets or whatever. He said, I'd put them to work if they showed up. But he goes, it's just, that's the way to get them working and keep them working. Mm-hmm. And just to understand that sometimes they're going to be there and sometimes they're not. And just be prepared for that eventuality. And so here we are, kind of fast forward 10 years. And I've been in industry and trying to get Indigenous employment. And one thing I've learned is that Indigenous people are way different. They think differently than your average kind of industry person.
Right.
They're happier with less. You know, so if you went up and grabbed some guy from the reserve who wasn't working and said, I'm gonna pay you $70,000 a year to work 6 months out of the year, mm-hmm. they'd think that they won the lottery, right? They don't need $140,000 a year. And they don't want to work the entirety of the year. What you have is, in our culture, we have some people that hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had guys walk away from $100,000 a year jobs in the fall because they were out of holidays. And it was moose hunting season, and that's what they did for their community. They hunted moose.
Right.
So they left their job.
Yeah.
And moved on, and they were happy, and they never thought twice about it. And then we have other guys that dance powwow. So in the summer, they don't want a regular job. They want to dance powwow. So, but the hunters don't dance powwow in the summer.
Right.
And the powwow dancers don't dance in the fall, and they don't hunt in the fall. So you have this kind of opportunity to share these jobs. So
right.
where you would have one person hired for the entirety of the 12 months, you could hire two people, have them share a job 6 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
way they could still continue to live their traditional life that they love to do.
Yeah.
And kind of join the industry, right? So
right.
I think the answer for the future is for industry to come to the table and say, listen, how can we make this work with you and your community?
Yeah.
Because like I said, you can bring them up and they'll work for 6 months straight. And then when it's hunting season, they're out the door. So I think there's an opportunity and there's some low hanging fruit for us as industry and for communities as a whole to say, hey, let's look at this a different way.
That's phenomenal insight, man. Like back before I started this marketing company and before the podcast and everything, my background is human resources. I was the HR manager for some companies here in Fort McMurray. And that would have been phenomenal insight for me to have in that role. That is, that's something else.
Yeah. So I think everything seems difficult until it's done.
Right.
Industry would look at that as idea as a whole and be like, no, yeah, we're not interested in doing that.
Right.
We it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always counter that with saying, well, think about the first guy who wore pants.
Yeah.
You know, that guy rolled by the fire wearing his pants and everyone was kind of looking at him like, look at this guy.
Yeah.
What are those? Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on, man. But I'll tell you what, next winter, everybody had pants.
That's right.
Because until somebody's done it.
That's right.
Everything seems impossible.
That's right.
We couldn't walk on the moon until we walked on the moon.
Yeah.
So there's this kind of, you need a step change. You need people to look at things different. Mm-hmm. We need a big paradigm shift and people yeah. understand that if we turn this problem on its ear, we might just find a solution.
Yeah. And I think it's a good time to have that discussion, especially now coming out of the pandemic where we had to work remotely and companies had to like look at staffing differently. And now after the pandemic, you're seeing like a huge labor shortage because of the baby boomers. They're gone now. So employers do have to start looking at the employment paradigm a lot differently. And so this discussion topic definitely, I think, is a timely one to not only help some Indigenous people that are interested in a schedule like that, but that could be a solution to a lot of employers in industry for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So what's your background in total? You said you're a millwright.
Yeah.
So
I did all the things.
How do you go from millwright to relations to moonshine? Like, how does this all transpire?
It, one of the best part of my job is that I get to go and I get to talk to Indigenous students and talk to about goal setting.
Right.
So when I was in high school, I was going to be a lawyer. I graduated high school with the bare minimum requisites to get into the arts program.
Right.
And so I went into political science.
Yeah.
Which was going to be that stepping stone into law. And
right.
I got to university and it was not for me. I was living with two of my best friends in a condo on the West End. So we majored in drinking, failed every single course.
Yeah.
And then, was I
one of those friends? I know this story.
When you fail spectacularly,
yeah.
You get to get a letter from the dean. And then he tells you to take a year off and maybe look at your life. And
yeah.
So I did that and I worked up on a sawmill up north. And then after that year, I wanted to go back to university. I knew I didn't want to just be covered in grease all the time.
Right.
And so I went into U of A and I did, I was taking an education degree.
Okay.
So I was going to be a high school English teacher. So I did 2 years of that. And after the second year, I was working at my summer job and the boss didn't want me to leave.
Right.
And he's like, how could we keep you? And I'm like, well, I always thought that after I got my ed degree, I'd take a millwright apprenticeship
mm-hmm.
and then try to teach at Nate, right?
Which right.
would be the nice thing for me.
Yeah.
And so he apprenticed me the next day.
Nice.
And so I left university, and I mean, at the time, a teacher was getting paid $35,000 a year out of university.
Right.
And millwrights were making $50,000 a year.
Right.
And I'm just
right.
like,
yeah.
What would I even do with all that money? You know what yeah. I mean? Like, that's like you're 25 years old, and
yeah.
like it's like you won the lottery. So
right.
I did it, and so I got my journeyman ticket. I went and worked for Cold Lake Operations out by Cold Lake for Imperial Oil.
Okay.
And I worked there for 7 years. An opportunity came up with Devin, and I came over as a millwright and then moved right into maintenance planning.
Yeah.
I did that for a couple of years. And then from there, there was an opportunity to do competency-based training for Devon Canada.
Yeah.
Because of my background in education, they thought I was a good fit. So I did that for 2.5 years, and then an opportunity came up with intergovernmental relations, which is stakeholder relations
yeah.
With Devon, and I took it.
Yeah.
And I've been in it for 10 years, and it's so rewarding. I mean,
no doubt.
I get to go to these communities, take place in their celebrations, go to their high schools, talk to their students, go to
yeah.
career fairs. And so it's a really good way to give back and to talk to these kids. So my path, while it was kind of circuitous,
mm-hmm.
it shows these kids that they don't have to know, and it's okay to not end up where you pointed the,
that's right.
the field goal, right? So
that's right.
We always talk about kind of, hey, what's the difference between you today and you in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 5 years, and
yeah.
how can we get you there? So
right.
we talk about small goals and big goals and stretch goals, and and moving targets. So
very cool. Very cool. Well, listen, Tanner tapped his phone. That means he's ready with his questions for the Max City Minute. But before we jump into that, we got to throw to a sponsor, Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Carrie, take it away.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen. But sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And we are back. Thank you, Carrie from Patchouli Rose. We do appreciate your ongoing support. Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty, question number one for you today. What is one flavor you're hoping to try for your next moonshine?
With kind of the Cinco de Mayo coming up, we've been experimenting with the moonshine margarita. The problem that we're encountering is trying to keep that blend homogenous, right? So we've got a flavor that's out of this world. It's you just pour it over the rocks and it's good to go, but it separates in the bottle. And so we're not sure how to overcome that hurdle, but that's what we're working on right now.
Question number two, what has been your favorite moment on a golf course?
Favorite moment on a golf course. So being a member of Cold Lake First Nation, we take part in the First Nations Cup. Last year was one of the first years where we were taking that step as a team to start to get towards the competitive side of things. So we were in the consolation again, but we were in the A consolation. And we took first place in it. So it was a big moment for us as a team and as a nation member. So that was probably one of my favorite.
Question number three. What is one thing about Fort McMurray that you enjoy the most?
Well, Fort McMurray's got a special place in my heart. Back in the 90s when I graduated, my dad was working for Northlands Forest Products. And so I was working 10 days on and 4 days off. And so that drive up, while it was a little bit desolate, it was kind of cool because you were like coming into this own place, right? And mm-hmm. it's like it had its own weather and its own charm and everything like that. So Fort McMurray is kind of this little jewel in the rough.
Question number four. What is your favorite tradition that you take part in?
My favorite tradition that I take part in is hunting. I'm a hunter, and I've got a 10-year-old son, and he's starting to enjoy it with me. And so nice. This opportunity to kind of pass on that knowledge and take part in that.
And your final question, what has been your favorite time to have a drink of your own moonshine?
Well, my favorite is when we're sitting around the campfire. We got the guitar out, we're just kind of passing around and we always did it in jars, right? And so we would pass the jar around and sing songs by the fire.
Those have been your five questions.
There we go. Well, I know you're running short for time, and Tanner just tapped his watch anyways to say we're out of time. But before we cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Well, I mean, we're down here for the expo next weekend. So if you guys want to try some of the product, I believe we're going to be in some stores locally. So come on down, try the product, and we'll hook you up with the store.
There we go. Awesome. Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace. I like it.